Yes, I just started recording.
Thank you. Welcome everyone to the ORAN software community meeting for June 9th, 2021. Our scribe for the day is Masafumi-san. We'll continue with the roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
Oh, yes, Jinri is here.
Great. David?
Hi, this is David.
Thank you. Paul, John Paul?
Yes, morning, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul from Ericsson here.
Masafumi-san?
Hi, Jack and everyone. This is Masafumi from Docomo.
Huha?
Hello, this is Ivo from Nokia.
William?
Hello, this is William from Monash.
Ganesh?
Hi, everyone. This is Ganesh from Redisys.
And Jawa?
Hello, this is Jackie from Remover.
Okay, you're covering for him. So we have everyone today. Great. So we have our quorum, and now we'll move on to approving the minutes from last week's meeting.
Jack.
Yes.
Shouldn't we have Andrew from team? I mean, the EC has already approved Andrea from Kim as their top delegate.
Okay. You'd been out, so I hadn't really
Okay. Sorry. I think this is my fault then.
No. It's just okay. Coordinating and making sure we update things. Great. Andrea, how are you doing?
Hello.
Welcome. We'll go ahead and update our information to include you. I think I was just waiting for things. Sorry for the delay, but we'll add you and move forward as of next week, if that's okay with you, Andrew.
Yeah, okay, no problem. I think this was finally formally and formally agreed a few hours ago. So no problem at all. I also wasn't sure whether this was official. So no problem. Yeah, we'll start from the next meeting in sync. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we will review last week's minutes from June 2nd, 2021. There's a recording is attached and the minutes are described. A lot of discussion about the face-to-face activities that were planned at that point now have taken place, the CII badging, as well was a discussion. Does anyone have any corrections or comments for the minutes of June 2nd? All right, Masafumi-san, can you make a motion to accept the minutes from June 2nd, 2021?
Sure, I can make the motion.
Do I have a second?
Yeah, I can second. Yeah.
Thanks, Jinri. All those in favor say aye.
David says aye.
John Paul says aye.
William says aye.
Ganesh says aye.
Thank you. All those against say nay. Okay, we've approved the minutes from June 2nd, 2021, and we'll return to our current agenda. That's laid out. The next item is reviewing today's agenda. Does anyone have any items to add for today?
This is Tora. I added one item under which point? Under 11, under 10. If you can scroll down there, you should see it. Basically, on the D wheeler, I wonder how we release the D release. I presume the release date is July, planned release date is July 2nd, based on the timeline picture. And then I was wondering how physically we do this. Will there be, again, somebody generating an archive of all the images? These kind of things.
Okay. All right, so we're in the middle of the process. It is a little more difficult not having a PTL that's just dedicated to leading that. We ran the scans, so that's the first step, the license scans, and we're looking at that for passing the license scans. The next process would be to, review that all the pieces and documentation are in place. That's the next step, and then package things up. I don't see Felix on right now. I'll have to follow up with him. That's the plan to repeat the processes that we've done before. Obviously the PTLs, the teams have to support the effort. But
are we going to do for previously, we always had some integration use cases where multiple projects were working together and were tested together. Do we still have these executed or not?
Well, have you been testing any of the XSAPs on the near real-time RIC?
I think that would be, if then it would be the XSAP project doing that.
Right. Is Maddie on?
On the platform side, we wouldn't do that.
Yes, I'm on. We are still in the process of trying to get enough people accounts on the OSC lab. Of course, like HCL has been testing the majority of the XSAPs on their own testing platform, but it's been slow going getting everybody access to the OSC lab.
Okay.
Jack, I would suggest for this time around, maybe, some tests can be just done by the individual teams and then passed that way, because it's quite tedious to ask, I guess, Felix to run up all the DU testing, TM500 testing. It's taking us a long time already. So I would suggest, if the teams can faithfully validate the flows and put that up maybe on the integration site, that should be sufficient validation for you to release the packages and cut the branch. I guess who cuts the branch and how it gets tagged is the real question. Will the PTLs do it, or do you need Felix to do the branch cutting?
Okay. Well, the branch cutting has typically been done by PTLs or any committer.
Yeah.
For every individual repo.
Okay.
That should be quite straightforward and relatively simple. I think this archive creation and check that we have images that make up the underlying, in the near real-time RIC case, the RIC. We can do that also on PTL side. I'm not sure what then. I mean, basically, it's best to look at what has been done in the C release, and there was the testing. Docker image list. Every project had a Docker image list, and then there was the integration cherry release, and then this management of the legal aspects. The problem is I'm not actually sure what has been done. So that would be always good to have as a checklist what previously was done, that we do it again.
Okay. The
send the wiki and the in the chat the wiki link to the wiki page that kind of tells a bit what has been done earlier.
Okay.
And then we had the cherry release page on the releases, which was this one.
I mean, there was a release testing plans, release and integration.
Which seems to be enough. Yeah, points of contacts and then.
Yeah, now that's for the cherry. What we just need to do is work on that for the D release. There is a
well, that's I created that.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the other link. It's to the cherry release page, which is kind of the entry when we say now it's the Dawn release available. We point to that one.
Yeah.
That includes the release tarballs, release image list, source code as a tarball, and some getting started page, which I'm not sure what that is referred to.
All right. So I'll talk to Felix about getting at least the structure and the checklist and the see what parts he can take care of. And so we still have a few weeks, so that should allow us to do that. I saw the scans. Trishan, did you see the scans as well?
Yes, and I worked with Steve to get that triggered.
All right. Have you looked at the results at all?
Yeah, I didn't think there was just one piece that needed to be looked at. I don't think there was anything. And there were some other empty files that were missing some license information. There was only one that it needed.
Do you know which project it was?
If you give me a minute, I can look at it on recall.
All right, and then Mahesh, you know, this is the first full release that there's something in the SMO. So I don't know, there may be a little more work on your side.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of an overview of where it's at, you know, how you would deploy it, what it is at this point for once we build it.
Okay, so that goes as part of the page here, the D release.
I'll have Felix connect with you.
Okay.
What's the planned release date? If I may move on.
That's based on our published list, it's the week of the 28th through the 2nd, right? So you know, in the US, we have a holiday that following Monday. So what day do people suggest? Do you want to do it, shoot for June 30th? That's Wednesday in the middle of that week. Does anyone have a preference?
I think that sounds reasonable.
Anyone else have any comments or concerns? All right, so we'll target June 30th. Jinri, we need to write up a release statement and get it cleared through the EC. We usually do that, right?
Are you talking about that content in the PR? Because June 30th will be quite close to Open Board. And then usually at this time, together with MWCB, and Open Alliance always release a PR. So are you talking about that, the release statement?
Yes, a release statement.
Yeah. Okay, right. Then in this case, I believe that the PR will confirm this. I mean, our D release.
All right, so can you take responsibility for pulling that together?
Sure, yes.
Okay, line it up, thank you. All right, so that's the plan. We'll do, target is June 30th. Trishan, any?
Yes, it's, there's an and, where is it? It's, a COM ASN1C file. I think it's either in the simulator or integrated. It's the AX code convergence coverage.m4. That was the file that needed to be looked at. Which project? There's a COM-ASN1C. Is that in the RIC?
That's by the RIC, and we are in the process of removing all the content in it because we moved this whole project into under GitHub, this repo.
Okay, that's for the license. Yeah, that was the key.
Yeah, if you want to follow up on this, send me a. So it's for me to handle. Torf. Yeah, with them, RIC.
Torf. Yep. Okay. Yeah. I'll send you an email then.
So that's the plan.
Trishan, while you're there, the thing that blocks us currently is there. I actually don't know who is the committer for that repo. If you can check that, it doesn't use the info YAML way. So if you can check that and put that in the email as well, that would help.
Okay, let me see if I can find that. Yep, I'll do that.
Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, so we have agreed on date. We have Jinri will organize the press release and statement. We've ran the license scan. We'll make sure that we address that outstanding item and that it's clear. We will we'll work with Mahesh on the SMO being the newest project and make sure it has enough supporting information, and then we'll package everything up and have it available for the 30th. So the 30th is the day that we normally meet. So we have 3 weeks to that date. You know, ideally, we should have everything in place for us to vote on in 2 weeks on the 23rd. If there's any blockers, we can work on it, you know, and release it on the 30th, but the ideal would be to take the TOC vote on approval on the 23rd. Is everyone okay with that plan?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, I got to get the e-release timeline up and published. We'll follow, well, while we're there, why don't we just talk briefly about it. We will follow something similar to the Cherry release. I'll just throw that up for right now. Where's the, I guess it didn't have the, that's the D release. The older ones, I guess, got cleaned up. Because it talks about the release. Oh, here's the timeline. Okay. So just for reference, it's going to, well, this is the D release. Sorry. I guess there isn't one here readily available. They probably got cleaned up. But we'll put together.
Which one? Wait, Jack, if you want. The one for the e-release, then basically the Cherry one would be a reference.
Yeah, but the picture seems to be, it just has the information. I don't think the...
No, there's the Cherry timeline on the left side in the...
There it is. Yes. Okay. I just didn't know. Right. There we go. It'll look similar to this, right? June through beginning of December, the exact dates all plug into. I have a little thing that generates it. Is there anyone have any questions or concerns about doing the e-release the same timeline? Well, I mean, obviously, we can talk about it at the next meeting when it's formally, you know, with all the dates and stuff. But if there was any guidance, okay. So that'll be kind of our template for the next release. We'll just follow what we did in the Cherry.
Okay. Sorry, Jack, can I just make a suggestion that maybe we could start the requirements gathering for the F release earlier, a lot earlier, so that we can have the requirements somewhat stable before the end of the previous release so that the development can continue, rather than having this long break between requirements preparation and what's essentially start of dev sprints. So rather than having a kind of not so much of a waterfall type.
You mean shorten this, the maintenance window?
For the F release, can I suggest that the F release requirements planning starts before the end of the E release, while you're coming up with the schedule for the E release, so that there's not this long gap before the dev sprints start? It would seem to make, you know, this is a purely waterfall type release process, which isn't great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, normally we get into the maintenance release, you know, window once we release. So there is a little bit of a gap here. I agree. But from a requirement standpoint, in theory, the RSAC should be working on it more or less since the, you know, since once we begin the dev sprints here, roughly the functionality freeze. The RSAC is free to start working on the next set of requirements. I don't think we make it as formal. This window here is really kind of on the formality of making sure that, you know, it's incorporated, but it's certainly, there's nothing preventing us from moving earlier on it. I agree, it's intended to be more of a rolling activity. How do you want to formalize that?
The easiest way to view, you know, to make a visual representation of that would be to add a new row on the calendar to show the window for e-release planning, or sorry, for F-release planning on the new e-release schedule.
I'll do that.
In my opinion, unless anyone else has objections or comments.
It's kind of part of the blue task line right now. We just have this long thing about software and project documentation, but really that line should be beginning the e-release requirements. How would that be if we took that box and split it and did some of that as part of that box? So it would appear that as of the end of the functionality freeze, the e-release planning, since it's a software requirements task, would that be, you know, fit your need, John?
Yeah, that sounds sensible. Yeah, but again, if anyone from RSEC,
yeah, because it's just kind of a big green box at this point. I mean, there's a little bit of a role here in the preparation, but I'll take a look at doing something like that. Okay.
Thank you, Jack.
Let's get back to the TOC. All right. All right. So we kind of jumped into the key items on hand, which is the release planning, which is the most important thing. Does anyone else have any items to raise on the release planning? You know, that's got to be our focus here for the next few weeks.
Jack, on the release, I think it's also adding the PTLs to the integration project.
Right.
I've seen the email from John we just need, if you want to be added, just need to add yourself to the info.yaml file as a patch, and then once it's +2'd by the existing committers, it can be processed through. So just as a reminder to the PTLs.
All right, any PTL unsure about that? Okay.
I'll add a link to that review and to the email message, if that's okay, here in the chat. Thanks.
John, you can add, do you have the link from that email to the instructions? That may be helpful for folks, the process.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
All right.
Right. Jack, at this stage, just while you're on the topic of approvals, can I raise maybe another topic maybe for this week or next week to be discussed? I noticed that there's a lot of repos in OSC that have either no info.yaml or the info.yaml is out of date. And indeed, there are many repos that have never had a single commit since they were created. Can I suggest maybe that we need to have a cleanup of our repos, maybe archive the ones that aren't being used or remove them, and to insist that each of the repos would have an info.yaml file. I think Toraf already mentioned it earlier as well.
Yes. So how do we, you know, ones that no one cares about is always hard to figure out who's going to take care of that. Are all these repos attached to some project, or are they floating free?
And most of them are floating free. And indeed, I can, on a slightly unrelated topic, can I suggest that these repos should be owned by some project, or at least somebody should claim ownership of them. Again, this is a separate issue that shows up in the analytics dashboard function, where there are many repos, some of which are active, where it's not clear who owns them or which project they should be under, where they should be reported as, or how they can, you know, who's maintaining them.
Trishan, is there some way that you can generate a report that lists the repos that are not attached to a project and which ones have info?
Yes, I think we had generated that in that ticket itself, when we were reviewing the analytics platform. Okay. So I can go back and get that generated for us.
Okay, great. And then I agree, every repo should be attached to a project with a PTL owner, right? And that there should be a .info. And so if not, we should clean that up here over the next few weeks. I don't know that we can get the process done by the time we release the de-release, but we should certainly try to clean it up best that we can. I agree, John. We should do some housekeeping. It's particularly good at least once a year to stop and take a good look at the cleanup. So this would be a good time. Does anyone else have any thoughts on the cleanup?
Can I just add one other little sub point? Can I also suggest that when there's a review of those info.yaml files, that there's many of those info.yaml files where they exist are out of date and refer to people who are no longer with their relevant companies or are not still committers. Just general housekeeping and due diligence might be required on some, even where they do exist.
Right. I think once we get rid of the empty ones and once they're attached to a project, then I think the PTLs probably need to take a look at that, right? I think, unless someone else thinks there's a better thing, but I think that's a responsibility of the PTLs, and the committers should look through the list that they're responsible for. Would that be a fair way to do it, John?
That sounds good. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Trisha. I know I've been putting a lot of requests on you lately. Thank you.
All right.
How about repos that are, like, we had some repos for XApps that were XApps for Amber release, but they haven't been maintained since then. Can we actually delete repos, or is that against the software open source philosophy?
So, Trishan, what's the practice? Are they archived? Are they
for once a repo gets inactive? Yes, it just gets archived.
Meaning it's read only, right?
Yes, we wouldn't delete anything.
I think the key other aspect is that it's clearly visible. This is not maintained anymore. If you want to use it, you probably have with a recent, so in the XApp case, if you want to use that XApp with a more recent version of the RIC, you will have to invest a lot of effort.
Generally we put also, as it's a read-only or it's tagged as archived in the name as well. We've done that on some projects.
So okay. How does that process go? Do we need to file a ticket with LF to archive a repo, or?
Yes, that, and also we do sometimes annually. I mean, we do a review maybe, and then we just see which ones haven't been updated in over a year. And those are brought to could be brought to the talk as well for review. If a repo hasn't been touched in the past year, then that could be one that's considered. Of course, sometimes that doesn't mean it's necessarily needed for archiving. It could be a library that no one updates, but is used.
All right.
But if you have a repo that you know that clearly needs archiving, the process would be to bring it to the talk for just to approve it, or if it's, and then we can, and then archive it. If it's a project, but if it's a repo within your project, you can put in a ticket for the request.
Does the archiving change the Git link?
I don't believe. I think it's just the name that the title that they change, but I can double check that. There may be an alias.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. We should do that where applicable. All right. So as part of cleanup, we should go ahead and look at that as well. All right, let's.
Yeah, so the, sorry, just to clarify that they update the description in the repo as archived. I just put an example in chat of one of the repos that we'd done an audit and archived the repos on. Yep.
Okay. All right, so now let's move on to the next item. Copyright update, just to give you a, we had a meeting last week with representatives of the ETSI committee to share the work that was done with them. Just to, you know, it's a first, just sharing our approach meeting, and we'll see how things go from there. But that's, you know, working on the, you know, path of getting a solution for us from the 3GPP project. But right now I expect that the board meeting will approve this license for ORAN software community use of the ORAN specifications copyrights. And then that, you know, once they approve that, then we'll start putting in place the process and procedures that will follow to enable that activity. All right, I there's no point in putting procedures in because until after the approval. So that's where we are on that. ORAN business. Jin Ri, do you have anything?
Yes, several things. So the virtual face-to-face meeting. So we had our OSC session last week, or two sessions. And then this week, the whole ORAN virtual face-to-face continue. And if I remember correctly, there will be an SMO session led by MVPC, by church. I mean, for this SMO session, it will be that. Kind of hosted by Working Group One. But anyway, it's just right after our talk meeting, if I remember correctly. And there will be the second SMO related session the day after tomorrow. Okay. And I believe that Rotary and other key stakeholders will be there, providing some of their requirements from OSC perspective. So this is a face, face to face. And then there will be an ORAN board meeting at the end of this month, and the EC and TSC are working on the slide deck of the reports. And then for our OSC, I mean, the progress will be included in their reports. Okay. I already made that a job. And so this is second thing. And third thing regarding the top membership. So last week I was sick and I was not able to make it to the call. I forgot to mention that EC has already approved the team to replace Verizon to become one of the top. And then Andrea from team will be the delegates. And in the meantime, last week, last Friday on the TSC call, I had a brief report on behalf of OSC talk. And I also mentioned the talk application from VRV. And the response from TSC is that there is no objection at the time, but the TSC co-chair suggested to wait for 1 week to see any response or comments, okay, regarding the VRV application on the top. Okay. And I think that's it. That's it. Yeah.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Anyone have any comments on the face-to-face discussions? Anything that we need to follow up with?
Jinri, you mentioned that the SMO session was after this call, and I think it's actually another hour after.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's in slot three today. The
slot three. Oh, yes. Okay, slot three will be like in 2 hours. Yes, okay. Thank you.
All right.
So by the way, I remember the VRV has already indicated interest for the talk membership, right? I believe so, just some time ago. And then, but there seems no any comments on this. So I just want to remind the community of this.
No, I mean, mostly the criteria is to, you know, met through the EC and TSCs from ORAN Alliance. You know, the TOC itself here doesn't approve, you know, the members. It comes from, you know, that structure currently. So that's the process. So, you know, we have 6 and 6. So we still have open slots. So we will. So we still have one open slot by the time after the addition of the two that we're discussing here. We'll still have one open slot. Once the slots are all filled, that's when it starts to become a little more challenging. So next year, when we go through the process, if there are more interested parties, then that's when, you know, a true vote will have to take place. All right. Let's move on. Ritwik, is there anything you have on the front hall gateway or anything?
Yeah, Ramsey was supposed to call me, but I think he didn't get time. So yesterday we were discussing in the RSAC call, maybe David can also ping him and I'll try and catch hold of him today. Unless Jack, you know what the story is with the Nokia's IXR.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll follow up on that.
All right, Jinri, the white paper version 3, anything we need to do to support that? Jinri? Maybe he's on mute. Okay, then we'll move on. Review, I think those discussions are going on as part of MVP. That's what some of these meetings are.
So one question that Jack, very quickly. So there is a meeting, I think, 2 days from now on the SMO MVP. I have to kind of present some view of OSC. We've had discussions with them. We've already articulated what the OSC would like, but there are some additional questions like, do we really need a functional division of the SMO for implementation perspectives? You know, because if it's left as variable, implementation variable, no one makes the call. So maybe if folks have thoughts here, please email them out so that we can get a view. The other is also, is there a slicing assurance component needed in the SMO? And from an OAM perspective, inventory management, data collection, cloud infra, things like that, should they be defined in the SMO more explicitly? So these are kind of high-level questions. I think if people have a viewpoint on what should be included, think of it more from a perspective of implementation. And if ORAN has an answer to that, I think it'll definitely help OSC. Otherwise, you know, different small implementers would have their own take and it may not be totally aligned. So yeah, just a quick, you know, thought process. If people have views, please email them to me if you like. Me and David. Yeah.
Well, there's functional and then there's a software architecture. You know, up to now, we primarily focus on key, you know, APIs, our interfaces that we need to make sure are open and interoperable. That's the first step of the mission. I think the bigger question on the SMO needs some definition as to, you know, like you mentioned slicing. Is the slice manager above the SMO and uses capabilities that need to exist in the SMO to do, you know, to help it do what it's doing? You know, I don't think, at least in my mind, I don't think the user interface and the whole application for slice management that you might expose to customers or to businesses or, you know, all of those, that end of things belongs as part of the SMO. I think that's
outside service design. Mm-hmm.
I think that's an end user application space, and it may tie to functionality that's in the SMO to accomplish what they're trying to do from a business standpoint, but it's not really an operations team interface or a network team interface, which is more what I think a service and management orchestration function should be. So I'm interested in other people's views, but I think the end user experience and the broader capability. So that's why when you talk about slicing, I think you have to qualify it a little bit more as to what level of functionality you're talking about, right? To do some of the configurations may be calls into the SMO, but I don't think most people want non-network people kind of interacting directly with things running on the SMO, right? The SMO's intention is to, you know, manage the network, interact with the network directly. And so I don't think end users should touch components in this from a security standpoint and other things, that those should be external applications, which may, you know, initiate activities, calls to the SMO to provide functions. Is there any other people who either agree, disagree, think about?
So, Jack, yes, I would actually agree with that statement that I think the SMO should expose APIs that other applications should be calling in.
Our services, right?
Right.
You know, so there are service functionalities that might be exposed. I know sometimes we talk about them as APIs, but I think that they should be. The reason why I point out services is because of a level of functionality that's incorporated as part of that interface, right? It shouldn't be discrete components that people manipulate. It should be more service requests on what they need to accomplish and get the results.
Right. And I'll also add to Ritvik's point that as far as planning goes, we probably should identify that the network slicing models that say, for example, that 3GPP has already published should be supported by each of the network functions, specifically the CU and the DU. If we want to showcase that use the network slicing use case in the next release.
Right, sorry, can I just make a quick comment there? There's two aspects. One, first overarching comment is that implementation architecture or software architecture is not within the scope of ORAN Alliance to define. It's a standardization body, not an implementation or software organization. But the second point then is if the ORAN Alliance wants to define requirements for how that should be implemented, that should do that. That's fine. If there's a decision that functions like slicing should happen inside the SMO or non-RT RIC, there's no way for the ORAN Alliance to define what those interfaces might be. If it's the, unless they extend their scope, if it's decided that functions such as slicing should be northbound, north of the SMO, then interaction should happen via DR1 interface, which is being defined for the non-RT RIC. And it's pretty clear. It's either inside the SMO, in which case it's out of scope for a software architecture. If it's outside the SMO, it has to be specified as requirements on the R1 interface.
Yeah, you should, John, just a comment here. I think, I don't know if you've seen, there are some vendors, obviously, that think the opposite. They think that end-to-end service orchestration, including the CSMF and the NSMF function, is part of the SMO. For example,
Juniper. They should define that via the workgroup one as part of the architecture.
I think
that's really the discussion. I don't think it's up to us in OSC to have an opinion on this, because that's an implementation variable function until it's defined as part of the architecture. And as yet, it's not.
Yeah. No, I think the part of the SMO is to come together as a community and define those, whether it's inside or outside, and whether its internal faces are needed or not. So this is a chance for us to shape that, right? We can't just say that, ORAN Alliance should not discuss about this. I think because on the field, if you look, there are implementations that are actually, opposite to what Jack just said. They are actually putting all of the slice assurance and slice management part of the end-to-end service orchestrator, part of the SMO. So,
well, be careful what I said, Ritwick. What I said is the end user experience application is
outside, right? Yeah.
Right, is outside. Now, how that stack below that is implemented. Well, CSMF is
the application view.
Right. So how that's implemented below that, I didn't really say, because obviously you do have to make changes to the underlying network. So at some point, parts of it will exist and interact, right? But my clear point was that when you say the manager, from a standpoint of the user community, I want to make sure that people understand that has to exist outside, right? We're not the UI people. We're not the security people. How outside people will access, the software. I think we probably should draw, work out how we view that support. But the end user access to slicing and management isn't an SMO function, right? Because generally speaking, from security and other things, we're not the place that end users directly interact with, right? The operations teams really are the ones that interact with this level of a platform. So all I'm saying is depending on your definition and use of the slicing manager terminology, I'm saying there's at least a application externally that the users would access that would then drive the request into the network management capabilities to make changes in the network. So it there is a component that's external.
Okay. Yep.
From that standpoint. That's all. I don't think we want to take on okay, Dave says working group one identifies the slice management functions as part of the SMO.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Well, then we need to get clarification on that because
there are a couple of presentations in the
right.
The CSMF, so, the customer slice management function, is part of the SMO. So that
right. And I'm sorry, I don't believe, you know, direct customer access to an SMO is an acceptable. I think end user access needs to be to an external application that's built with that security and those things in mind, and then would work into platforms like the SMO, right, for implementing the requests. But there's a series of steps that those requests have to go through before they would be validated and then executed by the SMO framework. So I just think there needs to be some clarification there.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else agrees, but generally, these functions are not the user, you're right. User experience is not defined within the SMO, right? Because users won't have direct access to the SMO. I think it's a secure network management infrastructure. So I just think that maybe from a standpoint, as we move forward with looking at the slicing, we need to define a logical view of how the slicing should work and then lay that over on top of, you know, our target architecture, our software architecture. But let's
It's part of your release design work,
right? Now I think that does raise another question, that there are some common functions that we might benefit from making sure that all SMOs have, R APIs. But if someone is accessing it from, does the R interface, would that cover? I don't know if that would cover BSS OSS integration, right? Do we need a separate interface for that? With separate security guidelines in the SMO.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Our apps typically are kind of running within our environment, but if you have external environments that want to access the SMO, generally speaking, I don't know that they would use the same R app interface. I think that's a question as the RSAC should address for OSS BSS calls.
Right. We'll have a discussion on
after tomorrow. Things, right.
Yeah.
And in terms of the broader SMO, is there some common functional blocks where things should at least be grouped together, even if we don't talk about exactly how to implement them? For example, we often talk about, a data management infrastructure. We talk about KPI stores. We talk about, some common functionality that's necessary. Should we define some functional guidelines that these things exist, and look at how, because eventually they will influence the organization of what are our apps are capable of doing and how they doing it. So, versus just letting them get scattered around. So there are some major functional blocks that we may want to talk about should be consistently available, and then look at, you know, let the details to the implementation, but should talk about some items on that list. Because I think all the SMOs are going to need to manage data and KPIs and a few things like that. I'm just using those as examples that might be worth a discussion.
Thanks, sir.
All right. We've kind of consumed the hour this week. We spend a lot on the where we're supposed to, which is getting ready for the release. Is there any other business that people want to bring up? We probably really should be talking about the badging. Take a very quick look.
We have made progress on two. There's another one that passed, and we've added on the SMO project.
Yeah, well. Came up. The great work at making big progress on the SMO. The challenge is how, Ganesh, how do we close on the ODU high? You're 93%.
Yeah, Jack. So this is from Radisys. So we updated the questionnaires today, and the score was up by 93%. I think there are a few questionnaires about the static code analysis for which we need access to submit the CI job on the Genkin job builder. So we have sent a request for the admin access to the TOC list. So we need to have the admin access for the Genkin tool.
Okay, and that's something you should be working with Trishan on?
Yeah, I don't know who, Jack, but maybe if Torah, if you've done this Genkin job access, maybe you can advise Radisys how do they do the static code analysis? Or if anybody can help.
Yeah, I can. Whom from Radisys?
This is Mansi from Radisys. I'll
ping
my ID.
I can connect you too. Yep, I'll do that.
And Torah, I'll also reach out to you.
Yeah, I will just put you in contact with the guys who worked on this from HCL. But if you drop me your email, let's get it going from there.
Sure.
And then Intel, I don't think anyone is on the call from Intel. I think we need to get them as well. All right, good progress. Let's see if we can close this out. This would give us a nice place to be. All right, any other business for today? All right, then thank you. We'll close the meeting. For the ORAN software community for June 9th. Thank you everyone for attending, and we can stop the recording and have a great day.